Well, if I gave you the name of the album, I would give away the guess. So I think I'll wait till just a tad later, or maybe the Jazz Cat will divulge that. I'll tell you, one half of this equation is Hank Jones, but the other half is the guest for the Jazz Cat. And the album's name is Kids, Live at Dizzy's. Joining us right now on the Live with the Jazz Cat show is none other than the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs. Leroy.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I can't believe the guests you bring on here.
Hey, man, I tell you, it's only the best for you and everyone who loves
you. I love this guy. I mean, I've been ever since for so long. It's just, I never get a chance to talk to him. But you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been trying to chase each other down for a while. I know you mentioned Ella before. Well, I know this cat, his horn can sing like Ella. It's Joe Lovano. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Leroy. Thank you, man.
How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, it's been kind of a wild summer, and it's nice to hook up and talk to you all out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Every time I see you at the Playboy Jazz Festival, I always crack up because Bill Cosby goes, Joe Lovano!
Man, it's been a thrill to come out there and play with him and for him and for that whole scene. Man, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Hollywood Bowl is such a special venue to play, and especially if you could get into some intimate music. You know?
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, you know, before you were born, man, your father must have been playing to your mom, because I think that picture I saw of you on your website, your mom was holding you, and she was holding the horn, and you were looking up smiling, man. That says it all, man.
That turned out to be my first alto, and... Yeah, I was kind of looking up at the mouthpiece saying, what? Oh, yeah? Oh, no. Here we go. Well, my mom did hear my dad play a lot before they were married, and she heard him play opposite Stan Getz and also Flip Phillips and different folks around Cleveland where I grew up, you know. I came from a really beautiful musical family, and it was a lot of things that fueled my imagination and desire to want to play when I was a kid.
Yeah, you know, it must be so nice to be born and baptized into the music. I mean, all of the musical support you received from all the Elder Lovanos, you know, certainly secured you a lifetime spot in the music.
Well, hearing my dad play around the house and practice and try a reed before he'd go to a gig or something, the rafters would vibrate, you know, and when I first started to really get an idea of how to get a sound on it, on the saxophone. I had the sound right in front of me all the time, so I had a lot of things to reach for, you know?
Yeah. Was there a jazz scene happening back in Cleveland when you came up, or did you have to roll out to New York to be immersed more in the music?
Well, you know, I mean, I grew up going to gigs with my dad and rehearsals and hearing him and learning from all the players that were in his generation, you know. So when I was 15, 16 years old and starting to put a repertoire together of my own and really learn the vocabulary of the music, I was learning it from players in my dad's generation, you know.
Yeah.
And around Cleveland, there was a lot going on back then, you know. I'm talking about like in the early 60s, you know, mid-60s. And It was just fantastic to come into the music understanding and having the awareness of the multicultural aspects of the music and the people and the generations, you know. So it really gave me a lot of confidence as I was developing to play within that world, you know, to feel confident about playing with older cats and into that whole realm of the multiculturalism of the music. And that's how I really learned how to play and learned not only just what directions to go in, but how to have relationships with people and develop music together.
You're listening to Joe Lovano right here on the show, Live with the Jazz Cat on the Four Locals Only show on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you know, in New York, 52nd Street is a pretty historic place in the music, and you wrote an album and won a Grammy for it, 52nd Street Themes, man.
Yeah, well, you know, that was that was something that developed for me from playing with a lot of big bands, joining the Woody Herman Band in the mid-70s, and then the Mel Lewis Jazz Orchestra, Carla Blaze Band, and Charlie Hayden Liberation Music Orchestra, and the different larger ensembles that I've been a part of in my career. Definitely gave me a lot of confidence about putting a larger group together. And we focused on the music of Tad Dameron for this recording, who was from Cleveland and my dad played with when he was coming up. And some of Tad's music were some of the tunes and things that I studied as a kid that taught me how to play the saxophone, taught me how to play with other people, you know. Tunes that I heard Charlie Parker and Dizzy play and Miles Davis on recordings, you know. And the whole idea of, like, 52nd Street themes was about focusing on the music that was developed during that period between Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk and Bird and the tunes that they played and how they all played together. You know, Ben Webster and Art Tatum, you know, that whole vibe of that street, which of course was before my time, but that energy and creativity fuels the scene today. And it definitely fueled all my ideas about putting that project together. And Willie Smith, who did a lot of the orchestrations for that recording, he grew up with my dad and others around Cleveland, played alto and is an arranger. We played together with Brother Jack McDuff's ensemble in the mid-70s. I was on baritone saxophone, and Willie was playing lead alto. It was a four saxophone band that McDuff was leading at that time. And I experienced Willie Smith writing out charts for four saxophones in the back seat of a station wagon, passing them out at the gig with no score, and, you know, and playing Walkin' and Moody's Mood for Love and these different charts that he would write. So when I put this conception together about my Nonette, I called Willie and included him immediately, man. And he was one of Tad Dameron's copyists back in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was a real connection there with my roots. And I'm really proud of the way that recording came out, and my ensemble since then is alive and well, doing all kinds of things. Last year, my recording Streams of Expression, Gunter Schuller did The Birth of the Cool Suite, which was included in that recording with other arrangements of mine, and that was nominated for a Grammy last year, or the year before, actually. Mm.
It's amazing how the music always comes around full circle, man.
Well, it's a timeless thing when it's all about the truth, that's for sure.
All about the truth. I hope you people heard that, because that is definitely what this music about. It's about truth and love, for sure. Hey, man, you've recorded with this great gentleman of jazz several times, your latest project in a duo setting on an album that I believe Gary played before the show called Kids. You did live at Dizzy's Coca-Cola Club in New York. I mean, it's almost like playing in a trio, in a sense, the way you both use the space. And those of us who were blessed to attend the tribute of his birthday here at the Hollywood Bowl, Hank Jones and Gerald Wilson, the man I'm talking about is Hank Jones.
Oh, boy, man. Hank is a treasure and is such a most, he is one of the most amazing musicians in the history of recorded music. You know, he plays with such a deep passion and love, and even though he just turned 90, July 31st, he's one of the most inspired players of all time at any age. You know, I mean, we talk about the wisdom of the elders, you know. Hank has always played with that kind of beautiful conception and approach. He's very free within the structure of the music he loves to play. And he's a total searching player and never plays the same thing twice as far as his voicings and his whole flow. He's a complete, beautiful improviser. And so thrilled. I've been playing with him over the last 5 or 6 years as much as I have. We've toured Europe like 4 different times, 3 with quartets, and then this last time as a duet, and then we came home and recorded live at Jazz at Lincoln Center. And it's really the way we play together. You know, the flow of that recording, the order of the tune, is just the set that we played.
Yeah, man, the sequencing is beautiful.
Yeah, so it's really, it's a challenge to just play in a duet and to have each piece have its own kind of flow and orchestration, so it's not just the same order of things all the time, you know?
Right.
And just our communication together has really taught me a lot about how to play with people, man, through the years, you know. Hank is something else, man. And the concert the other night at the Hollywood Bowl was really very special.
Yeah, it was outstanding. Mm-hmm. You're listening to my man, Joe Lovano, or maybe his father would call him Giuseppe Salvatore Lovano, right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. On 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. You know, the SF Jazz organization has to be one of the greatest businesses in support of the arts. I mean, it's phenomenal what they do. And
yeah, that's
the SF,
for sure, man.
The SF Jazz Collective, man, has to be one of the most well-respected groups. I mean, you guys are full of creative innovators and composers. And I happen to be present at the last performance when Joshua Redman happened to hand off the artistic director position to you, man.
Mm.
It was lovely, man.
Well, you know, the group is a real collective in the most beautiful way, because there's no real leader right now. The way it was structured at the beginning with Josh, he kind of ran things, you know, because he put the ideas together and really organized everything, you know. Now, since I've been there, a few different personnel changes happened. Stefan Harris came on for Bobby Hutcherson.
Right.
Dave Douglas came on for Nicholas Payton.
Right.
And with the three of us there, now the group, in a way, just kind of spread out a little more into a real collective experience as far as how we put sets together and present the set, you know. We each speak to the audience. We each bring in our own original compositions, as well as doing an arrangement of our focus composer, which this last year was Wayne Shorter, you know.
Yeah,
I joined
yeah.
last year when it was Thelonious Monk. And this year we just came back from about a 2.5-week tour in Europe just about a week ago.
Yeah.
And had a beautiful series of concerts, you know, where we played Wayne's music plus our own originals. And there's going to be a release coming out pretty soon of this repertoire from this year. You know.
The Monk repertoire or the Wayne Shorter repertoire?
The Wayne Shorter repertoire.
Yeah.
The Monk repertoire, the summer before, there is a DVD of us playing live in Vienne, France. This beautiful Roman amphitheater. So there's a release of the Monk music that I participated on as well, but on a DVD. And the recording of the music from this year will be coming out sometime this fall.
Well, we certainly look forward to that, man, for sure.
Oh, yeah, because Wayne Shorter's music, man, is timeless, and the way each piece came together. Each of us contributed an arrangement of one of our favorite pieces, and each one had its own life, you know.
Yeah, you know, God certainly knew what he was doing when he put Wayne on the earth, man.
Mm.
This guy is a genius.
Oh, boy.
Ever since high school, he's been coming out with great tunes, you know.
One of my most favorite musicians, and today, between Wayne, Sonny Rollins, and Ornette Coleman.
Ooh.
All kind of music out here. I heard all three of them in the last month, and actually had an opportunity to sit in and play with Ornette.
Oh, nice.
In Germany in the early part of July, and it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. You know?
Well, what should have been very interesting about that, and I was going to make note of it, is that you and Ornette are two cats that have this marvelously stunning white horn. I mean, it's like hypnosis watching you guys play, and you got that white horn.
My horn you heard me with the other night is like a pearl silver finish. That's kind of a lighter silver. He actually has a white kind of lacquered horn.
Yeah.
It's a little. They're different, but I see what you mean. They have a light look to them. They're not a dark gold or a dark kind of look, you know.
Musically,
Ornette is like full of passion, man, and love. And he just to stand next to him and watch him play, man. His articulation and his whole flow on the instruments is just beautiful.
Yeah, he's a great cat.
Wayne as well. And Sonny, I just heard him at Central Park right when I came back from the Hank Jones concert. And he had a beautiful evening.
Yeah.
The summer stage there.
You're listening to Joe Lovano right here on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. You know, I have a show here in Los Angeles on K-Jazz. In just a couple of weeks, I played Message to Mike from an album called Saxophone Summit, dedicated to our ascended angel, Mr. Michael Brecker. Tell me about Michael and Lieb and Ravi and the connection with great John Coltrane you all have.
Wow. Well, first, Michael Brecker was one of the most brilliant, incredible musicians of all time. And I knew him from the mid-70s and I had a chance to really develop through the years, you know, together, you know, around New York City. And his brother Randy also is someone that's a really strong, incredible force in the music. I've had a great fortune to play with a lot. I hadn't really played with Mike until we started doing this Saxophone Summit group with Dave Liebman, which was started around 1998, 99, and we just got together to play together and to explore some of the later period music of John Coltrane and some of his classic compositions and a way of playing together in a collective way to shape some of his tunes with our personalities. That was the whole conception about trying to do this, you know, this group. And it had stayed together and developed, and we were playing in New York every year at Birdland and having an opportunity to really write for the group and put things together. We toured Europe, and then we did a recording called Gathering of Spirits for Telarc about 3 or 4 years ago. And then, unfortunately, Mike left us, and it was just the way it all happened. You know, I mean, Alice Coltrane passed like the day before or within...
Yeah, within that week.
Yeah, well, it was right then. Like, they were right together, like within a day. And Ravi had subbed for Mike a few times when he was ill, and is a perfect voice in the group, his personality, and especially the music that we're exploring were all compositions that Ravi's mom, Alice Coltrane, participated in on the original recordings with John Coltrane. And it's just been we just also toured in Europe this July. We had about a two-week period right before the San Francisco Collective Tour. I toured with the Saxophone Summit, and we just had a beautiful exchange of music and ideas, and just put out this new recording, Seraphic Light,
right,
on Telarc, and we're really proud of it. We each wrote from within the band. We each contributed an original composition and then focused on some of Coltrane's really beautiful pieces, Expression, which features Randy Brecker as well, Cosmos, and Seraphic Light. And the piece you mentioned, Message to Mike, Randy brought in as his original.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a line and an energy that you feel Mike's presence in that piece, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a thrill to be in this ensemble and to explore music with such incredible players like that.
Well, the music is really one way to not only connect to all of the people who are listening and feel us, but it's also a way to connect with those of us who've left us as well. It's like our little smokestack coming from up, rising up to the top and connecting with the elders, man, and I know they still feel us.
Well, you know, as long as we're here and we knew them, and they're still here, and that energy and the spirits are a part of the whole history in jazz, and I think we, through the years, you know, we feel the players that we love, like the Dexter Gordons and whoever it might be, Gene Ammons. You know, we just lost Johnny Griffin recently, who for me was one of my main influences as a player. Coming up, then knowing him and having an opportunity to play with him on occasion, Johnny Griffin was something else, man.
Yeah.
Joe Henderson, again, someone that is with us and looms very large.
Very.
You know,
very
and had his own voice, stood on his own 2 feet. Gary mentioned Ella Fitzgerald and played some of Ella's music. You know, you can't copy somebody that speaks the truth and tells their personal story in every phrase. You know, Ella Fitzgerald was something, man, that was incredible. I had an opportunity to play behind Sarah Vaughan when I played with Woody Herman's band, you know. And, man, to be on the stage, to play in a big band, I could hardly play my part listening to Sarah, you know, and to be on stage with her was like, wow, you know.
Well, man, you contributed in so many vast ways to the music, man. We thank you for everything you've done and all of the music that you continue to put out, man. So,
well, thank you, Leroy. I feel I'm scratching the surface.
Oh, man. Well, many blessings to you. Joe Lovano right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Hey, Joe, thanks, man.
Thank you, Leroy. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Gary, for playing the music, man.
Thank you, gentlemen. What a compliment from a giant in the jazz world, Joe Lovano. You'd like to be able to get more information on Joe Lovano's CD, actually, that we'll be playing here in a second. I'll play a composition. In fact, you're hearing it in the background right now, Charlie Chan, which is on the Joe Lovano, Hank Jones, Kids album, recorded at Live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola. I think that's in the Kennedy Center, if I'm not mistaken, or Lincoln Center. I'm sorry, Lincoln Center. It is really interesting to hear the way they compose a piece with the two giants, Hank Jones and Joe Lovano. Hank Jones at the 88 years old at the time this was recorded. Joe Lovano, I believe, 53. So both certainly coming from a background of having worked with some of the giants, as he was mentioning in his discussion with Leroy Downs. By the way, if you'd like to get more information on these interviews, in fact, you'd like to get a replay, just go right to the archived interviews, Live with the Jazz Cat. The site is thejazzcat.net. Again, the site is thejazzcat.net, and you will get all that information right at your fingertips.